Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Hello, bad people. Welcome to our show. I don't want to discriminate anyone. Welcome to our show because today we are going to discuss about very important topic. It's very important. Let me highlight the third time. Very important. Without focusing, you can't get great results. I often see when marketers chase trends, trying to cover different niches, different skills, and they can't get results because you can't be successful everywhere. It's better to focus on one specific direction. That is why I'm so excited to discuss all these topics with Gert Melak. How are you?
I'm not Tony. Thank you so much for having me back. Yeah, I'm excited too because I think there's so much to talk to about today that we really need to kind of make a conscious decision what we actually put our focus to.
Of course. Yeah, things are going fast. You spoke on my podcast 3 years ago. I'm so excited to get you back, to get to learn more about SEO, about AI, and focusing on the right direction. Before we start, just tell more about your experience, background, and anything that can help our listeners to learn more about you.
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things. Probably I have a technical background. I used to be a web developer for too many years, honestly, before I went to marketing. I touched everything in marketing, I think, over more than 20 years that has a channel and has a platform at some point, and ended up with SEO a lot of years ago already. But I still have some clients from the original days where we pretty much handle all their marketing. They have become friends over the years. Like, I think the oldest client, I think, has been with us for 16 years straight. Wow. So this is definitely something we are really proud of, but it also helps us to very often understand or prioritize what really makes sense for a project in a particular case.
That's nice. Okay, let's get back to the main topic. It's a very important topic, and we chatted a little bit before the podcast, but I want to tell more about that. What you can see when someone, for example, let's imagine any expert can share a case study how to achieve great results in specific channel. What you can see, many other marketers, business owners jump to this channel without having experience, without knowing how it works, and they can lose attention in something that works for them and try to learn new channel that also takes time, resources, and energy, and it's tough to become successful everywhere. Probably Elon Musk can do it because he can build this rocket science. I don't know. I mean, like, even to jump on Twitter, to build electric cars, to change the world, because, some people can, but they have teams, they have resources, they know how to manage the process. But, Gert, can you tell from your experience? I know that you pay attention to e-commerce SEO. Do you change your mind that you need to test something new because everyone can speak about that because it's a trending topic? And how you can stick in one your specific direction?
I think there are a lot of things to unpack of in what you just said. I like that you bring up Elon Musk. I remember, I think it was Alex Hormozy, I think, where I heard this first, where he said, whenever you make, say no to something else. And also, the new thing isn't always going to get you to a better place. So I think he explained it in a way where he said, okay, you find something, we're on SEO, let's pick Reddit, right? And let's pick Reddit and say, okay, we believe we can make 10% more if we now focus on Reddit. But at the same time, where we focus on Reddit to get 10% more, we might actually lose 15% elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I think this is like in any situation, you're saying yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And the yes you say, the thing you say yes to might not actually drive the results that you expect. But you're still doing it, risking maybe more than this new thing can actually provide. And especially now with AI, there are so many things we could go down to. I think if I don't get two or three, I get three tools suggested every single day by email, I should be jumping on, I should be dedicating resources to. We're a team of, I think we're now 15 people here in my agency, SEO Leverage. And I think we don't have the time to just say, let's just explore something new, especially because after so many years, we have a process that we know essentially works. So we very often need to put like the blinds up and say, hey, I'm not going to go down this road. but I'm going to postpone this until I have finished what I know is going to work before I explore what might be an interesting avenue to go down as well. And I think there's this thing, I really like to boil it down to revenue. Over many, many years, I tried to boil it down to conversions, but then a lot of clients said, look, we're now getting thousands of opt-ins, we're still not making more money. And now we really try to boil it down to revenue. And I think more often these days, we say no to things that we could be doing than we actually say yes to something.
Yeah, got it. I check on your LinkedIn profile because I love checking LinkedIn profiles, and what I can see that you are located in Madrid, Spain.
Yes.
I'm in Valencia, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
I moved from the US. Yeah, I spent like 3 years in the US, but my family decided to go to Valencia because it's a great place. I love it.
It's and amazing.
I was in Madrid like a month ago. I love all these buildings, you know, environment, these parks. Yeah, it's a great place. Yeah,
it's beautiful. I didn't know you were here.
So we can meet for a while, you know. Can you tell more about your agency? How you built your agency in Spain? And compared to other agencies, what is your strong side? What is your weak side? Where you pay more attention? What you can do, what you can't do? So more about that.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think I've been evolving the agency, I think, for 20 years, really focusing mostly on the product that we present in order to be useful. Mm-hmm. And I think in order to be useful these days as an SEO agency, it takes a very, very different approach to 5 years ago, for example. Because 5 years ago, we all had in SEO with some experience, you had a good idea where things were heading, what would drive X amount of visitors. You could calculate roughly the conversions this brought. And pretty much, if you did a little bit of everything, you got clients to a really good place. Right now, the thing has definitely changed. So I think hardly anybody is going to create an ultimate guide about something, top of funnel content, and expect tons of sales or conversions from it these days. I think this is not going to happen. This was our go-to strategy a few years back because it was a good starting point. We saw what started to rank, created more articles out of it, and we got clients to really, really good positions these days. What happens now is that you can obviously spend a lot of time creating content, and to a certain extent we still obviously have our five people here creating content every single day, but the outcome is going to be different. The outcome might be more on the branding side, the outcome might be more on the AI citation side, which we know is impossible to track. I'll just say impossible. Some other people argue about this. I say impossible to properly track. I was really trying to find a way that makes sense for clients, because I obviously also noticed their insecurity with SEO. They have a good idea about paid ads because they just know after a couple of months whether the 10,000 they invest are turning into more money or not in e-commerce usually. But in SEO, they're always really like vary with their investments. It's obviously a big investment monthly, and the returns, we hardly can track it, etc. So I just wanted to have a very, very different approach.
Yeah.
And then, sorry.
Yeah, you know, I like what you said, because, you know, you pay attention to conversions, not to get more traffic. And for me, top funnel is that. I mean, that was not the right approach before AI. Absolutely was not right, because it didn't bring any sales. I check many times when new websites are chasing volume. They open Semrush, Ahrefs, many other tools. They can see volume and then see, wow, a lot of traffic. I want to get it. But who cares about this traffic if it doesn't convert? For me, it's better to get 100 views but right people than a million views with people who are not going to buy. What I can see when companies waste a lot of money to create high quality content for top funnel, but in that way they compete with Wikipedia, many other websites that Google can rank much higher. Even if they find the chance to outrank or to take any position in the top 10, it doesn't mean they can get sales. I argue with a few SEO experts who explained to me they use this approach because of topical authority. But for me, I think it's important, it's possible to create topical authority without top funnel. Why you need to create content for top funnel, even medium funnel, if for topical authority? A lot of topics for bottom funnel for topical authority as well. So why don't take them? Especially today, I think AI search can occupy all top funnel. For example, AI mod. When users search any information, AI mod can reply to this information and put links. Nobody clicks to these links because, I mean, like, AI mod replied fully to these questions, you know? So, I mean, like, these links just show the resources. But, I mean, like, if you speak about 10 blue links, people click because they couldn't get full information from title and description. But for now, they get almost everything, and they don't need to click. But if you pay attention to bottom funnel, of course they will click because they need to buy products. They still need to get something more. So can you tell about your approaches, how to create content plan today, considering that we have AI chats, AI search, and all other trending topics?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I definitely we'll get to this too. So I just want to really try to bring users like from this old approach that we had as SEO agencies to where we are right now, which definitely always, I think a lot of agencies right now, and honestly, we last year still did the same thing. You get a new client, you first of all audit the entire website, right? You audit the entire website, you audit their backlinks, you audit their competitor sites, you audit their competitors' backlinks, you audit all their content, and make sure that you know this website inside out. In our case, this ended then up in 150 pages document, plus linked spreadsheets, plus all kinds of things, a prioritized list of action items to work through, etc. And then usually we accompany the client through this process over 6, 12 months, 2 years, whatever it was within their budget, to make sure that we work through those things. What happens in these cases is either a few clients pick up this audit, hand it over to the IT department, and it gets archived and never done. We have seen those. Others then come to us, but they only have a certain amount of resources to dedicate to this project. And if you want to do a little bit of everything, it's really, really hard to have an impact. So at some point we said, hey, let's start questioning some of the assumptions that we have as SEO agencies. And I think one assumption we are definitely challenging a lot and essentially went completely away from is that I have to audit the entire website. In my opinion, hardly any project we get, unless we have one now, which is the exception where they want an entire strategy over 12 months and grow a new brand that wasn't here before. And we do a lot of audits there. But really, a lot of times you see a website, and especially in our case, for example, e-commerce projects are very similar. Most of the e-commerce projects we get use Shopify. We know what Shopify can do, what Shopify can't do, etc. I don't need to audit the entire website in order to already discover where they are leaking revenue. Mm-hmm. The same way as I go to a personal, like a group, small group, a gym twice a week, they didn't get my blood work. They didn't ask me about my nutrition. They didn't ask me about my family's nutrition and their sleeping habits in order to know what kind of workout works for me. They just said, okay, based on a very quick evaluation, and we do the same thing, we already know these kinds of workouts are going to be good for you. And they are, and they give results. And I try to bring this concept literally from this fitness environment into the SEO environment. And in the SEO environment, we just know based on our experience, and we also have a calculator on SEOleverage.com where we try to showcase this. We try to figure out certain things that can happen on your website, how they actually affect your revenue. So rather than assessing everything and we don't hear from each other for a month or two, and then I give you work for 2 years to work through, and then we see what the results are going to be, I look at your website very quickly, identify potential issues. This can be keywords not ranking well, and very often we have a quick idea why this might be the case, or this can be because your technical situation is bad, or your your site isn't conversion optimized or whatever. And based on some industry benchmarks, we tie and your KPIs of conversion and traffic and average order value, we tie this to revenue figures. And I say, okay, based on this issue, I believe you're losing $10,000 per month. And based on this other issue, I think you're losing $35,000 per month. And then we pack this into sprints and fix those things in 30 days.
Yeah, nice, nice. By the way, I opened your website. For now, I'm checking your calculators. You know, they look good, you know, so I need to test them out because I analyzed about your articles that you posted on Search Engine Land, but I missed these calculators.
There's one article coming up on Search Engine Land that talks about the calculator.
That's nice. Yeah. Okay. By the way, I'm going to test it. Guys, if you need these calculators, you can count your ROI with this calculation. So basically just open the website SEO Leverage / calculator, and you can find all this interesting data that you can use for your projects. Gert, I want to ask about blog content. Mm-hmm. It's very important for me because from my experience, what I can see that I'm not sure about the future of SEO blog content. I mean, like, we used the strategy for a long time. I remember before Google Panda that happened in 2011, we didn't write blog posts because Google was bad to recognize user intent. We ranked e-commerce content with info content. Things changed. Of course, we started to write more blog content. And for me, probably I can't even count how many blog posts we wrote with my team to help our customers, probably plus 1,000. Yeah, we got a lot of traffic, especially in weight loss niche, trading, finance, mm-hmm. crypto, similar niches. I'm not sure about the future. I mean, like, what we can see today, that traffic, that Google gives less traffic, the tendency is growing, and it didn't happen even, it started before AI, I mean, like, with feature snippet, with all these boxes inside top search results, but with AI mod, and I think, like, we get less and less traffic. Today we have ChatGPT, Perplexity, many other models that can steal customers' attention. And I remember Tim Solo said from Ahrefs that evergreen content can be dead now, and he told that probably Google will take over all blog content in 3 years. But we still write many blog posts, but less. Honestly, we don't write as we did it before. We use it because it can help to get customers from different channels. It's not only about Google. For me, Google can become an extra channel. So if that was the main channel, today it can become the extra channel. And we still need to help customers if they open websites to send some information, guides, explanations, how any product can work. So can you forecast your vision about blog content, especially you keep writing for Search Engine Land. So what do you think? Is it a good idea today to write or in the future it doesn't make any sense?
I think most of the people don't know why they're writing and publishing something. They don't know. You ask them what the point is and they couldn't answer. I'm not writing for Search Engine Land because I think it's going to rank well and drive traffic there. I have been in this industry for 20 years and I want to contribute to a great magazine and share my point of view. I think many, many blogs are actually being maintained, and it was a good thing for content agencies over many, many years to sell like 2 blog posts per month or something like this on a retainer. And it's worked well until now, probably, or a few months ago. I think now we need to be a little bit more selective. So selective in one sense where I say, let's make sure we tie our brand and our products together with the main topics and main use cases. When I say tying together, I mean mention together, explain together, talk in a content format together about both. So the engines, when they start analyzing the entities in those articles, the concepts in those articles, the challenges, the use cases, the ICP descriptions, they can just join the dots. For me, this has SEO has always been a join the dots game. You join number dot number one to number two, number three, and suddenly this shows a cat. And if you have a new brand, like I'm working on a law firm brand, for example, now as a and in a marketing fashion more than anything else, there is no dot on the map. So we need to, first of all, draw the first one, which is the brand, and connect it to the client, to their challenges, to their problems, and to their very, very, very core topic. And if we do this right and join the dots, at least the website itself is going to show this little picture we are going to draw. And an engine crawling the website and analyzing the content is going to understand who this brand is, what it sells, what it offers, who this is for, and for which use cases. Those are like the four things I want to make sure we implement. And this is where I definitely still need a blog for it. I can't do all of this on the service page. At least I don't think it's going to be strong enough. I still want to have a full featured website that can convert. And I want to have a resources section or blog section where I can bring this content across. What surprised a client of mine, like 2 hours before, I was on another call and we were talking about content. And I was like mentioning, yeah, we'll see on which website we publish that content then. And he was like, what do you mean? And what I mean by this is that when you see what gets cited in AI, very, very often it's not going to be the main website you're actually inquiring about. It's going to be medium.com. It's going to be a Reddit thread. It's going to be a public tweet. It's going to be, I don't know what, a YouTube video or whatever it is. It's not going to be the main website. So for me, blogging is going to be a cross-platform engagement more than writing new blog posts. And if I have a content idea, I can make a conscious decision and say, is this something I want to publish on my website, on my blog? Or is this something that's better suited for a LinkedIn article? Because this is where my audience is. This gets well indexed. It gets cited in my industry very often. So maybe the chances of this driving a result are actually higher. And the revenue potentially I can get out of it is higher if I publish it on that particular platform.
Yeah. Good point. I want to ask about your background. You started with development. So, And what I see, most SEO experts don't have SEO skills in the beginning. So they started in writing, development, I don't know, PR, digital marketing, many things, but we didn't get SEO skills in college. Mm-hmm. And I got my degree in finance and switched dramatically, because before 2008, I had a big company, finance company, and world crisis destroyed this company completely. And I decided to switch from this direction to online and started my project. And when I got it that I need to get traffic, I started to learn SEO, digital marketing. And after that, I fall in love on this niche. And I think what I see when I speak with different people, if someone has, for example, design experience, they pay attention to UX. Writers pay attention to writing, of course, because they want to get the best text. Developers usually pay attention to development, page speed insights. So according to your background, development, can you tell about importance of technical optimization, especially I want to ask about this tool, page speed insights, because what I see, customers still check out this tool and want to get green line, close to 100. For example, I cooperate with one client and she asked me to check out her developer. She sent me a report. And what I found, she analyzes all pages manually by putting on PageSpeed Insights to this tool. I replied, no, it's not a good idea. Just open my website, youonmiz.com, put your website, and it analyzes all these pages in one click. So you don't need to check out. You can see where a low performance, medium, high. So can you tell about importance of technical optimization, especially today?
I think technical optimization is there are a lot of things that we we accept as a given, but need to be put in place. So if I buy a car, whatever brand it is, I expect it to bring me from A to B. I'm not going to the car salesman and asking, is this actually one of those cars where I can hop on and start the engine and it's going to drive me to the destination? I just take it for granted. I think today we take for granted, and in e-commerce, we don't have a lot of issues with platforms like Shopify that solve a lot of things and have certain limits. We take for granted that the technical foundation is good, but very often it isn't. I was analyzing the revenue leaks of a shop 2 days ago, very small shop, but they're still doing like 30,000 a month, I think, with pretty much one product, and they have huge technical issues. And this is like the first thing we assessed, and we said, look, I assessed roughly $10,000 she's losing based on technical issues on her website. And this is a Shopify site, just the theme is really, really bad. So with a development background, you're right, this is definitely one of the first things I check automatically, hop into the source code, take a quick look, fire up a few tools. It's definitely important, but I mean, this should be there anyway, because otherwise a lot of people haven't done their job. It's our job as SEOs definitely to point to it if there are major things not right. But then again, I remember a project that had 1,500 technical issues. We fixed all of them and they got a 5% traffic uplift. That was it. And we spent 3 months, this was years ago, and this was a big learning for me. We spent months fixing 1,500 technical issues and it hardly had an effect. And I can't even say if the 5% uplift was really based on the technical things or just based on the branding or whatever it was, right? So a lot of times we focus our attention, this brings us back to the main topic of today, we focus our attention on something that in revenue terms doesn't have the importance it deserves. And now we hire a developer or pay a developer, we pay the SEO, we pay the marketing team or the project manager to manage this improvement. For what? To get 200 milliseconds faster site loading, which still is hard to justify in revenue terms. And I've still, in 20 years, I've still yet to see a site that ranks higher just because it's faster. It's page speed is important, especially for conversions, no questions there. There are very, very important statistics and benchmarks out there how much more the conversion, how much higher the conversion is if the site is faster. But there we are talking half a second, and things like those. It's not like squeezing out 200 milliseconds to get a 78 instead of a 64 rating on page speed.
Yeah.
But definitely technical. I think the tools, especially now, they see a website as a database. And a database is a technical construct where we try to link information together. And there can't be any issues technically. And we can't have a site that takes 8 seconds to load. But it's also very rarely the case these days.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I agree. And I think if any development can increase a little bit these parameters, yeah, it's better to pay attention to something else. So if it does impact UX a lot, but if a target page can load like 10 seconds, yeah, it's a big issue. So because customers are impatient, nobody will wait for 10 seconds to get the page. But if you can improve a little bit, of course, it's better to pay attention to other metrics like UX, link building, anything like that. Gert, you mentioned that your agency can help with creating content, developing content. And I can describe my journey in this niche. So basically, I started to outsource copywriters. When I joined Digital Products in 2008, I outsourced copywriters and cooperated with them before 2019 when EAT happened. Then that was updated to EEAT, Experience Expert Authority Trust. And I switched my cooperation with copywriters dramatically because we started to cooperate with experts. They charge more, but it's better to create less but quality. And how we usually find them, I'm not using Upwork, I'm not using any other platforms. I just search on Google, can find some popular blogs in specific niches. Then almost all these blogs have offers. I check out if their content can bring organic reach, that means they know how to write, they know how to create, bring value. So I reach out to them. We can reach out plus 100 people. If 5% can reply and agree, it's enough, you know, even a few offers enough for most projects. Can you tell how you managed in your team, EEAT, if the target niche is different from their experience?
Mm-hmm. It's mostly the case, right? Unless it's like a typical marketing or SaaS project where we have quite an experience. I have a funny story actually about this. When ChatGPT came out, and content was always an issue, right? Content creation is always tough for an SEO agency. You just don't have the experience. And then ChatGPT came out and we say, hey, finally, we didn't have any experience with ChatGPT, but it looked really too good to be true, right? So I sent an article to a client of mine who was teaching how to play the saxophone. And he came back and said, this actually sounds really good, but this is not how a saxophone works. So we were like, okay, we need to tweak this. And then obviously we got into what ChatGPT, how this worked, and the estimations and the probabilities, etc. We were just too early. We were just really happy and said, okay, let's send the first client an article written with this, and then learned our lesson. I really like your approach, and I think it's ideal if you have an expert. It's not always easy to get those that are willing to put, depending on the industry, you put their name next to it, etc. What I like to do, and where I get a lot of good results, and I also do this for my own content, is that we get an input first. So first of all, we research topics, and I say to the client, look, these are the topics I think make sense for you in this landscape. Given AI and all these things, I still want to write these topics. Can you prioritize them first of all, or just cross out what you think with your experience doesn't make sense? And then hit record on Slack or on your phone or whatever, and just tell me your thoughts about those topics, whatever comes to mind. And then we transcribe this and use this as a basic and as knowledge for a GPT-based first draft.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have it, sometimes it's not necessary because we might have enough video and audio material from the client and we just transcribe it all and create a knowledge base. I think the future of agencies is that for every client, you have a knowledge base, wherever this comes from. And this knowledge base is going to have enough context with GPTs getting better that get you in a position where you have a first draft. Nobody's going to write a first draft from scratch anymore. Not even the expert you're going to hire is going to do this anymore. They're also going to get an outline. They're going to get some sort of structure. They're going to reuse some sort of article they already wrote and get it rewritten or whatever. But there's always going to be the knowledge that decides how good this first draft is. So in our case, we have developed our in-house process where we even do additional research. So we have the client resources. We do bring in additional researches. What is Perplexity saying about this? What is the Reddit saying about this? And we put this all together. And I say, hey, we have one prompt then that goes back to all this context. And I say, let's now produce a draft based on this layout we want, based on the structure we want, etc. And then it goes to my editing team. And my editing team is then going to spend enough time on it to make this, first of all, sound human, sound based on the brand voice. We have some brand voice parts in this knowledge base already. So if something is really important for our client, we know what they want to mention, what they don't want to mention, etc. But then it goes to a writer with at least 8 years of experience. I think everybody on my team right now, and they have all the knowledge about the project. We try to keep the same person with the same project as long as possible, because then they learn from the client feedback as well. And then they write this content, and then it goes to the client and actually for review. And then we have a feedback loop process.
And how long does it take, all this process? I mean, like, to create one piece of content, because, you know, it looks like it's not like a few hours. Yeah. I mean, like, to analyze data, to check out all search engines, including Perplexity, many others.
It's an automatic process. The research is an automatic process. What takes a while is to build this initial knowledge base, because you need to see where can I get, I don't know, if some clients have courses, for example. So we transcribe all those courses and get those in. Other clients sent me the transcript. I had a client, an architect from California, sent me the transcripts of all his courses and said, look, use this as initial material. And if you need anything else, let me know. Sometimes for particular articles, I just literally recorded 4 minutes 58 of my voice talking about revenue leaks and e-commerce and the new agency model on an audio, and my colleague is going to take this and produce a draft. We can then edit and publish, but it's going to be my material. But the research process and everything can be automated these days. So you can go automatically to Reddit and fetch information from real users that talk about a certain topic. And then you bring this in. You obviously need to create this process. We have created it internally for us. And I think for one client, we even created their process as well, so they can be faster producing their materials as well. But once this is done, the process then on in the ongoing phases is really more an editing process than anything else. Editing and first of all, the research, of course.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, interesting. You know, it's really, I mean, like, I just imagine without automation, it probably takes a lot of time, yeah? But if you use automation, yeah, it makes sense, of course.
Yeah, but, and you also want to make sure that your process learns, gets better. So you get feedback from the client said, look, we are now focused more on this other thing. You need to have a process where you feed this information back into your knowledge. So we give you an example. We had a toothpaste or toothbrush client years ago who was completely against the use of fluor, I think it's called. And this is an information we needed to have in our database. So we would just made sure that in the next drafts we produce, this doesn't happen anymore. So we learn with the feedback. So the machine that you build needs to get better.
Yeah, got it. By the way, I have my content editor. You know, we developed this content editor where we check out the quality of content. But, you know, I often share this content editor with my clients. And it looks like, you know, it takes data similar to Grammarly, Google Docs, Hemingway, SEMrush, Ahrefs, because we analyze all these metrics. And when copywriters from my clients write there, they tell, you know, I can't get 100%. I reply, you don't need to get 100%, you know, for SEO or readability or Grammarly. You can do it even by using Grammarly or Hemingway. It's better. Yeah, the better just readability.
The biggest problem people have right now with AI is because there is no number they can optimize for.
Yeah.
People need a number to optimize for. They need a score and they want to be able to tell everybody around them and their superiors that they have optimized the score as much as they could, which is why they want to have page speed green and why the Surfer SEO needs to be 100 and I don't know what. I do the same thing. I say, look, this is an iterative process. You tweak it a little bit to making sure it still converts, but it's also a little bit more SEO optimized. We see where it lands. Let's rewrite it again in a couple of months and see how much we go. It's less about, I would prefer those tools didn't give a score, but they needed to sell probably.
Yeah. But anyway, I found these scores can help someone who started. I mean, like, for example, let's imagine new musician, you know, when they need to check notes, you know, if you speak about professionals like Taylor Swift, Beyonce, big artists, and they don't need it. But if you start, of course, you need to check out. The same with writing. When I started to write, I just took some popular blogs and rewrote word by word, you know, because I tried to figure out how to write in the correct way. And of course, I read many books. But of course, when you have this experience, you don't need to check out keyword density. You don't need to check out many other metrics. You can analyze. And if you feel that they are valuable, like readability, okay, you can simplify a little bit, but you don't need to chase any score. But for newbies who started, yeah, it's important. I often see when someone doesn't have experience, they check out metrics. And of course, you don't need to satisfy all these metrics, but you can get some insights and think, can you adjust or not? You know, it's machine, just machine. okay, Gerd, I have my final question, very important question about future of SEO. I think like when Google appealed, SEO was dead. After 5 years, that was dead again. Probably each year it's dead, but we still here. We still speak about SEO. I don't know if we can do it in 5-10 years. But anyway, I want to ask your forecast about future of SEO. What do you think will be dead in 5-10 years or probably tomorrow? I don't know. Any prediction about that?
I think SEOs, I think it was never that important to have a solid marketing foundation like it is today. So as an SEO, you could really be focused on SEO, forget about all the other channels, just really do your thing, but not anymore. Because at a time where in search and now with AI chats, a lot of other websites and platforms are coming into the play, you need to really take a step back and start with audience research. And so where is my audience actually? On which platforms are they? How can I get to those platforms? How can I collaborate and reach out to those other websites and find maybe a PR-based collaboration? How can I strategically collaborate with local, if this is a local SEO campaign, strategically collaborate with other companies in this same town in order to make sure that we land on each other's websites, because this is going to have a big impact. How can I do, what can I do in order to actually participate maybe in a trade show so I get a lot of people they're exposed to my brand that and can talk about my product with this particular target audience. I see SEO is just a means to get the brand in front of the audience. So I think SEO is going to merge more into a PR kind of thing, where we are just going to research, we are going to research the audience. We're going to research where they are. And we're going to find ways how we can get in front of them. And then we're going to try to tie this to potential revenue metrics. Because I believe that the times where you do an audit and keep a client for 12, 24 months, some people even have their long-term contracts. We never had those anyway. I think those times are over. Because SEO has just gotten more and more distanced over time from the potential outcome. Whereas paid ads was always very close. And I think this is one of the problems we have in this industry, that SEO was always far too much off the actual goal, which is to make more money. This is why we exist. And as SEO agencies, I see myself as an investment broker. So somebody gives me $5,000, and the $5,000, I should now invest them in the best possible way to ideally hand them back 8, 10, 20, a few months later. And this is how we should make decisions. Right now, we are taking those $5,000, might strongly believe in ChatGPT, invest $4,500 in getting really, really good at ChatGPT, which only is 1% of our revenue, and might get to 5% in 6 months. So I think we have a responsibility as SEO agencies to make sure that we invest the client's money in the best possible way, and at least on paper can show why this is a good idea. And this is where I believe SEO is going to become very, very project-based. Like, we only do the 30-day sprints anymore. Hardly anybody is going to get a long-term retainer these days, unless it's like a link building or something, or content project. Because we can be very, very focused, and with this focus go into a project and say, let's fix this tiny little bit, and you are going to expect these results. Let's do this in 30 days. You have your limited involvement. We have the focus and narrow focus to actually move the needle, and then we make things happen. Search, I think, is going to continue to be dominated by Google and their AI. I don't believe ChatGPT is going to get to a level where it makes sense to shift major budget into ChatGPT. I do believe AI is here to stay, and Google is going to dominate it.
Yeah, Google is powerful today, but honestly, I don't know about the future. For me, yeah, I can agree. It's powerful, very powerful today, but I check out the history about some strong companies, and each 20, 30 years, they replaced. I mean, like...
Like, right? Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, like, I think our job is to be on the second stage. I mean, like, we can create new OpenAI, I can create Google, but I can use the technologies and find the way where a customer's attention is. So, if customer's attention on GPT, okay, I will pay attention to GPT. If I see, let's imagine Grok, Perplexity can take this customer attention. Okay, I will pay attention to that. If Google is powerful today, then 100% I will be with Google. But if Google is going to decrease results, I need to see this tendency. For now, I see it's growing. It's only growing. I mean, like, before anything should happen, because it's tough to change customers' habits. I mean, like, people use it, Google. Of course, they use ChatGPT as well. Mm-hmm. Many people use 700 million people can use ChatGPT. But compared to data, Google is more powerful, like 40 times. Yeah.
And it also depends on what they're using it for. I can't stand those usage statistics. And then they say, look, actually 40% are developers, and then 20 or 30 use it for therapy. And then you have a tiny fraction is actually trying to find something, and they want an answer, and they don't want the site anyway. So what are we doing with those usage statistics? I think there is going to be now a time where people are going to open up budgets in order to flood AI, because it's just a hype, and they need to justify this, especially in B2B. They need to justify that they're doing something in this regard. But there's also going to come a time 6 months later where somebody's going to say, okay, how big are we now in ChatGPT after 6 months of effort or 12 months of investment? And we are going to then see, hey, there is no relation whatsoever to any return, because it's just too small to actually have an impact. It's like, is it a good idea to go out here in Madrid with a sign promoting my client in the States? It could do something, I will never know, right? Mm-hmm. But the probability on paper, on a spreadsheet, it's never going to work out. The numbers are not going to work out. And this, I think this is the big point I'm trying to make, that whatever we do, at least with our numbers and with benchmark values that we have, needs to make sense in the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a mistake and it's losing more money than it actually can potentially bring.
Awesome. Awesome. Very valuable. Gert, it's a big pleasure to get again back on my show. I hope you can speak next time, not after 3 years.
whenever you want. Happy to learn out about it, see you a little bit more.
Yeah, it's so valuable, you know, to get you on my show, to learn from you. You bring a lot of value. So guys, if you want to learn more about Gert Melak, I recommend to follow him on LinkedIn. To open this calculation on his website. I love it. I put the link in the description below. You can find on seoleverage.com/calculator. Calculate your ROI, because, I mean, like, today you don't need to chase traffic. Don't chase volume. Chase sales. Everything should be made from bottom funnel, from sales. Then you craft great strategy. And if you need more help, reach out to Gert Melak, because you can see a lot of great value from his consulting, deep consulting, you know, you can get. Gert, tell the best way how to reach out to you, how to learn from you, how to follow you.
I think you said it, everything perfectly. Thank you so much. Definitely LinkedIn and seoleverage.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Guys, if you are driving or listening at any other place, just find these links in the description below. Love you. See you next time.
Thank you.